don't feel so lost with you. Fly through the mountain ranges, but I'll never see the danger. That fire boss is swinging, but our hearts are full. I'm not worried when I'm with you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Be Real. I'm so glad for these few minutes that we get to spend together. And I know, you know, it's been a little bit of an eclectic season. We're kind of all over the place. We have different guests, lots of different topics, but really the heart of what we love to do here is just to provide you that little oomph, that little bit of perspective that you might need that's going to help you live a better life. So one of the things that's like a foundational value for me is this idea that change is really hard. It is possible, but really hard. And we need all the help we can get. And Let's Be Real is about that. It's like, we all need all the help we can get in this life. And how can we do that by lifting each other up with the way that we kind of think through things? So I want to bring you guys a topic today. It's just me that's been on my mind. I've been hearing it from my clients. I've been talking about it with some different folks. Last month, I was out in California. I was doing a women's retreat out there at Mount Hermon, which is a camp out in California. I've talked about this with you guys before. I love speaking. I love speaking in person. And this retreat was particularly special because there was time built in where I got a chance to just hear a bunch of your stories and ways that kind of you've seen God work in unexpected seasons, what those seasons feel like, which is connected to my next book. And one of the themes that really came out was sort of this sense of fatigue and overwhelm, particularly in female leaders. And a little bit of like maybe holding it together for everyone during COVID, some of the additional maybe strain of responsibilities that come for women, particularly who are mothers. And I have been really reflecting on that. And then with some of my own clients, both men and women, have really been experiencing sort of this sense of exhaustion, weariness in the leadership. Like everybody else was allowed to suffer, you know, and you held it together for everybody else while they went through the struggle of COVID pandemic, all that stuff. And now it's like kind of catching up to you. So if that's you today, I just want to address that and bring you a word that I've been thinking of and really processing through for myself as well. And asking the question of my own leadership, as well as my clients, what does resilience look like in this season? What does it look like to faithfully stay the course when you just want to quit? You just want to pass the baton and be done. And most of us, you can't actually pass the baton and be done. So you end up living in this kind of fantasy of, I wish my life was different, which really leads to dark places, to be honest with you. When you start living out of this, I wish my life was different, it's really exhausting. And if it doesn't lead to a new season, if you kind of know in your heart of hearts, what you're experiencing is weariness, you're not actually being called into something new, then let's talk a little bit about what it looks like to embrace the invitation of being resilient in your leadership. So I want to talk about three components of your day, your life right now that I think deeply connect to your ability to be fruitful and productive in the long term. So we're going to talk about pace, we're going to talk about purpose, and we're going to talk about posture. Okay. So first one, pace. This is huge. So I was training for the marathon here in Richmond. I actually dropped to the half marathon, which is a separate story. I feel fine about it. It took me a while. I didn't feel fine about it right at first because I'm very competitive, as you guys know, but I really did feel like very much at peace with dropping to the half. But what was interesting in training for the full marathon was how often the coaches would just drill into us as runners, as new marathon runners, how important it was to pace and how important it was to run much slower than you expected to run in the race. Like they would talk all the time about how you've got to get comfortable with a much different pace, because if you don't, you will hit 20 miles and you will absolutely hit a wall. And even if you think that you can do it, you won't be able to do it. And it won't give you that first race like experience that you would want to have. And I've been reflecting on that so much when it comes to leadership, because there's ways that there are times where we have to pace. We have to basically do like a tempo run in our leadership where we're outpacing ourselves. And sometimes that time is necessary. COVID is an example of that time. You had to outpace your pace in order to do what you needed to do to keep your family together, to keep your organization together, to keep your team together. And now we like have to suffer the ramifications of that. We're kind of in that place. The danger to me is that we can start to believe that our outpace pace is our real pace. And that because we were moving at that and making those kind of decisions, we have to keep doing that. And then we find ourselves really exhausted and burned out because it might even be just slightly outpacing yourself. But over time, slight outpacing has really damaging ramifications. So I think one of the things that you need to ask yourself and be aware of is, what is a sustainable pace for my life? And here's a newsflash. Your leadership is just completely integrated and linked with the rest of your life. So if your family life or your personal life is requiring more of you, or really deserves more of you than you have been giving, or you're in a season where you need to give more to that, that is going to affect your pace. You can't have one pace that you just stay constant with your whole career and another pace in your family life. Those two things actually to flourish, to really persevere, to be productive, to be fruitful in your whole life, those things will impact one another. So case in point, like one of the things I talk about all the time is I say to people, you know, I have a youth group in my home because I've got three teenagers. One of them is almost 20, but right now they're all teenagers, and teenagers require a special kind of energy. It's a kind of energy that I actually love to give. So we've really aligned as much as we could. We've tried to order our life around the flexibility needed to be available to them. But here's an example of what that looks like. What that looks like is that most teenagers are ready to talk about their day starting around 10:16 p.m. I wanted to go to bed at like 9:28. So there's a delta there that I have to cross. And if I try to, I mean, I can ask of my kids, right? And I can get information from them that's not late at night. But if I want to connect with their heart and I want to work within the rhythm of who they are, because one of my primary roles is as their discipler, then I'm going to have to shift my pace and shift the way that I live my life. And that has ramifications for my work. So that's an example of thinking through a pace and really trying to examine and be aware of what you can pace out in order to be productive. And by the way, that capacity looks different for everyone and it looks different in different seasons. So what might feel really life-giving to me with the age of my kids today might be very different for you. What felt really life draining for me when my kids were preschoolers might feel really different to you. We need to be aware of what that looks like in our life so we can say, you know what is a reasonable expectation for what I can produce, what I can create, what I can arrange in this life. And if your work is dictated by others, if you're in a place where you work for someone else, then you want to ask the question, what does this work require of me? First of all, do I have a realistic expectation of what this work requires of me? Because sometimes we add extra layers to be like, I've got to be the best, I've got to be amazing all the time. But we might want to ask ourselves, what does this job actually require? Start from that. And then with what I have left over for the rest of my life, how will I then prioritize so that I can have a sustainable pace? So this may come as a surprise, but I don't believe that every season of your life is right for a small group. I don't think that every season of your life is necessarily right for volunteering. I think that there are seasons in our life where everything that we have has to be devoted to what's right in front of us. And we can hold on to those things that we love and care for, and we can put those things out in front of us. And we can say, that's a thing that I want to return to, a commitment that's important to me. But in this season, it might have to look different than it's looked previously. So that's the first one, is pace. The second one is purpose. And this one is huge because I think that our core purpose stays the same in life, but the manifestation of that purpose will change really probably in 18-month increments. The facet of what it looks like changes probably that frequently depending on the work that you do and depending on where you are in your life stage. So our core purpose is the same. If you're a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus, we all share the same calling. So people love to talk about calling and it's great. And I talk about calling. I love to talk about it, but I want to make sure we all understand we all have the same foundational calling. Like no matter if you drive a UPS truck or run a nonprofit or are a stay-at-home mom, our core purpose is the same. Like God has called us to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received. The calling that we've received is to be reconciling agents in the world. This is from 2 Corinthians. You yourself are an ambassador of reconciliation. What sin has worked to fragment and to disunify, you have been called to put back together and to bring back together in the way that you live out your story, in the way that you love your friends, in the way that you engage with your family. We are called to be reconciling agents. So that's kind of the foundational thing. Like our job is to say to the world, look at what it's like to be reconciled to God. Look at the love and joy and freedom and purpose that come from being a person who is reconciled to God and invite others in to that experience. That doesn't change. That purpose remains. But how that plays out in your life is the question that we can ask ourselves. And people can get really hung up in purpose statements. Actually, our guest Chanel from a few weeks ago has a book that helps so much with this. Your Life Starts Now. You can go to that and kind of like use her exercises and activities to get to that purpose statement. But fundamentally, a purpose statement allows us to know what is worth making a priority and what do we say no to. Most of the time, we don't have a problem saying no to bad things. But we do have a problem saying no to good things, and we have a problem saying no to obligations. And if you have no sense of purpose that actually gives you a hierarchy with which to make decisions, then you find yourselves really like just really either you're super reactive to people or you over and outpace yourself over and over again, and then you withdraw completely. And that's very confusing to people that you're not a consistent presence. So these are sort of the negative ramifications of not knowing our purpose because we exceed our own boundaries and then we've got to suffer the consequences of that alongside of everybody else who's in our circle. So when we know our purpose and we're able to state it clearly, write it down and live into it, you're not going to do it perfectly. But when we know our purpose, it is much, much easier to discern the proper yeses and nos in our life. So for instance, let's say you're in a time where you're building something. And this is the mistake I made with the marathon. I thought that the energy required to train for a marathon and the energy required to write a book would be complementary, which was possible. It turns out they weren't complementary. They drew from the same source in my life. Here's an example of that. Marathon runners do long weekend runs, long Saturday morning runs. Well, I found, oh man, like a long Saturday morning is a really important creative time for the way that I move writing forward. I might be, you know, working on it during the week, but there are chunks of time in which the way that the creativity lines up with where I am in the week means that that also is a priority time. So having a purpose that says, okay, wait, what is the thing that is the priority right now? And then how do I make decisions around that can give you a little bit more of an arrow that actually helps with your pace. The first step though is being aware of your pace and asking yourself the question, am I in step with the Spirit? Am I living out a way where I could like keep this going for a while? Have I been up tempo for a while and I need to now ratchet back? Is it possible that I've been back at a rest state and I'm ready to pace in a more disciplined way? That's the first question. Then the second question is, am I clear about my purpose, at least for the next 12 to 18 months? I've got that foundational calling, but then what does that look like right now? What am I building? What am I maintaining? What am I arranging? And what am I creating? Because the creating is a different kind of energy so that I can think through my purpose and actually say yes to the right things. And then the final piece to me of leadership resilience that's required in the midst of all this, that's wrapped into pace and purpose, is posture. And posture is really about this idea of growth mindset. This is a super like pop psychology, positive psychology thing, but it's a very well studied and researched concept of the way that we think about ourselves and the world. And there's a fixed mindset way of thinking about ourselves in the world and a growth mindset. A fixed mindset says, if I fail, I should have never done it in the first place. Like basically, I already have everything that I'm going to be. And so if I come up against obstacles or I fail at something, it means I shouldn't be doing it in the first place. A growth mindset says failure is a part of success. And grow, I'm always a work in progress. I'm constantly failing and learning. And so I should expect to have setbacks. I should expect to have obstacles. And I can see those as opportunities for amazing new revelation and new ways to learn. And when we have a posture that says, I can place myself in a position where I live out of a growth mindset, what comes with that, they sort of grow on the same tree, is humility. Because when we're expecting to be a work in progress and when we're expecting to have obstacles and failures, we're actually expecting to need help and we're showing up in a way that allows us to receive. It allows us to be able to receive feedback, able to receive pivots, able to receive I think I've been working on pace, but I don't think I've quite got there. I'm not quite right there. And I'm going to, make some adjustments to my life. That posture of service, humility, and growth mindset is what actually sets us up to be really generous people. Generosity is not just about money. It's about the posture with which we engage with one another. If I just feel like, hey, I'm just like a fellow traveler who's trying to make it here, the way that I engage with my fellow traveler is much different than if I think that I've arrived or I think that that person's going to take resources from me that I need for myself. So that mindset shift is what actually helps us stay in the long game. Posture in leadership looks like showing up and believing that someone in the room might have a better idea than you. And when you celebrate that better idea, it's a win for you too. That's the kind of humility that comes from that posture of being a work in progress. We never have to be the people who have all the answers. We never have to be the person who's always in control. We're allowed to sit back and celebrate the rest of our team, our family, the people in our lives for what they bring to the table as well. And that is a force multiplier in your leadership. That will take you so much further. It may not be faster, but it will take you further for longer, which in the end of the day is actually more productive, more fruitful, exactly what you care about as a leader in the first place. So pace, purpose, and posture is going to take you to that place of resiliency where you can continue to walk forward into that great purpose that God has for your life. Thanks you guys for being here today. We'll see you next week. Flying through the mountain ranges, but I never see the danger. That final